Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and we got about an hour until our pregame festivities begin. White Sox and Tigers coming up here at that time. Carlos Rodon and Buck Farmer, the starters. We'll see if Carlos is able to keep his real strong stretch of starts going. Boy, he told reporters after that, you remember in the Cubs series, he went four and struck out 11. That's right, 12 outs in four innings. 11 of them were strikeouts. A lot of walks, too, for Carlos. He said after that he was pretty confident he'd get things figured out. He has, and I think in different ways, too. We'll talk a bit, I think, in the pregame show about Carlos, who's going to have the start, and exactly what we've been watching from him a little bit. Ed and DJ will break it down, too. But for right now, let's take a look into the system itself and talk a bit about the kids down there who may be, you know, that next piece of the rotation, perhaps, with alongside Carlos Rodon, or perhaps the next power hitter with the White Sox as well. And speaking of Ed and DJ, just the other night, Chris Getz, who is the director of player development for the White Sox, stopped by the booth and had a conversation with the both of them. And I think cool perspectives from all three of them, obviously all former players, all having played for the White Sox and making some other stops along the way. Ed spent a lot of formative years both as in a scouting development role with the Orioles. Chris started with the Royals in the front office, and DJ being in a number of organizations and knowing what it's like to be, you know, one of those top prospects, having seen that before. I think you get some cool perspective here looking into that White Sox system. So wanted to bring it back for you from the other night. Chris Getz, Director of White Sox Player Development, with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson here on WLS.
Angle. He can play center field with the best of them. Darren and I talk. Two center fielders in this game. They're probably the two best in the American League.
I would agree with that. Yeah, Adam Engel, I mean, he's fun to watch out there. He can cover a lot of ground. Obviously, we're working on him offensively. He's got a lot of potential there. But just to be able to go up there and perform from a situational standpoint, I mean, he's got power too. So if we can get some productive at-bats from him with his defense, we got a pretty good player.
It wasn't that long ago that you were playing here with us too.
No, it wasn't.
You know, I mean, look at the transition you have made. Now you tell these guys what you went through. This is going to be beneficial to them all.
I hope so. You know, yeah. I went through a lot of these things they've gone through. Obviously, on the minor league side, I've played at all the affiliates that these guys have experienced. And then up here, I've played up here as well as a part of the Chicago White Sox and definitely as an opponent.
Gene Watson hated to lose you with Kansas City, didn't he?
Gino.
Damn.
Yeah. Shout out.
I know these things. Things, unfortunately. When you look at the kids that we got in the two trades with Boston as well as with the Washington Nationals, if you get four or five of those guys to the big leagues, we're doing well, aren't we? I mean, I'd like to say we're going to get all 9 or 10 or whatever it is. We've got 10 or 11 of the best players in the minor leagues in all of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, history would tell us if, you know, we match that number that we would be doing a good job. But I have to say is, you know, the position that I'm in, I want all these guys
absolutely.
To reach the big leagues, and I want them to reach their potential. So we do everything we can on a daily basis to do that.
Best player that you've seen in our organization. It doesn't have to be Mancada. Is there one down there that we haven't seen or talked about?
Well, we haven't talked about Eloy Jimenez at this point.
Yes.
You know, obviously he's a guy we acquired from the Cubs for Quintana. He, you know, the first game I saw him, he got 5 hits.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a good start.
At least, just, he knew you were coming.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. But he's an impressive guy physically. And then, you know, the maturity level.
Is he 20 years old?
He's 20 years old. Just, you know, he's able to communicate. He has an advanced feel at the plate, hits the ball to all fields, and then you have the power. And that's why I feel like the power is going to be real because he has an idea at the plate.
How about the kid that's in the Dominican right now that we signed?
Luis Robert.
Yeah, how about him? Have you seen him down there at the academy or anything?
I've seen him down there. I haven't seen him live.
Yeah.
But he's physically gifted. He can run with the best of them. He's got power. He's got to control the strike zone, too. That's what he's shown so far. So when you start, you know, picturing these guys together on the field, it's going to be fun to watch someday.
When you, and this is a question Darren wanted me to ask you because he wanted me to ask you this. How many guys are we calling up in September?
Gosh.
I know that decision isn't yours alone.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm just telling you what he asked me. I'm not telling you I asked that. He did. Ask him. He asked me. He said, ask him that question.
Darren, you didn't want to take that question, huh?
I don't even know what he's talking
about.
Yeah,
but
I see the games you guys are playing.
No, I'm telling you the truth. I've got support behind me.
There will be players coming.
Okay.
All right. You know what? I want to ask you this.
Is Kopech coming?
I want to ask you this, Chris. What do you think, you know, what unique thing can you provide with your aspect, from your aspect of giving to these young kids? Because you went through the system here, you know the place, and you play in the big leagues, minor leagues. I mean, what can you, that's unique to you, give to them?
Well, I think personally, because I was drafted by the White Sox twice. I came up through their system. I got called up to the big leagues here. I experienced a trade when they couldn't wait to get rid of me. But I just feel like I can relate to these guys. I really can, just based on, you know, my personal experience going through this thing. Obviously, we just came from Kansas City as well, and saw saw the development process happen over there from kind of the ground up. And similarly, that's what we're trying to do here as well. So just try to use those experience and help these guys the best I can.
But to the White Sox half of the fourth, Yoán Moncada will lead it off, the second baseman. Has he disappointed you in any facet, this kid here?
Disappointed?
Yeah, in any aspect.
No, not at all.
He's got some plays that he can make in the infield, and those aren't self-taught, that's for sure. And that pitch outside low. It's a little flip that he's got.
Little
Robinson Cano move. And he's a dynamic player, and he's going to only get better. There's the 1-0. That's low, two balls, no strikes. How about him hitting right now? You've seen him better than this.
I have, yeah. I mean, we knew there were going to be, you know, some tough days. With Moncada, but he had reached a point where it was time for him to get up here and finish his development here.
Now, you have something to ask him, Darren? To ask Chris Getz?
No, I'm wanting to finish what he's talking about, some of these things you were expecting, especially with the bat.
Well, the good sign with him is he's still controlling the zone. There is obviously some swing and miss within the zone, but he's staying away from pitches that are off the plate. Obviously, that's an example of it right there. That's a pretty good indication that there are some good things to come, just because he has a feel for what he's trying to accomplish up there. I think once he becomes more disciplined with his approach at the plate, he's such a powerful kid. He can drive the ball out of the park, pretty much to left field, center field, or right field. He can do it. If he just stuck, I think, more to left center field throughout, he's probably going to stay on some pitches, get a little bit more barrel leg to stay on some off speed. But he shows so much potential, and he's got great ability. It's ability that, you know, just doesn't come around that often.
How about this? Tell me about, because there's a guy I've been intrigued by since last year, and he hasn't been talked about as much as some of the other top prospects. Alec Hansen. Tell me about him.
Yeah, Alec Hansen. He's had a very good year. I mean, I'll take it even further back. When we drafted him, we were fortunate to be able to get him where we got him. He kind of struggled his junior year, his draft year, and we got him. And he just took to professional baseball. And some guys really do that, the routines, just the pace of it. Got off to a good start, went to Kannapolis to begin the year this year, did very well there, went to Winston-Salem, continues to do that. And he's actually going to make his first start on Monday for the Birmingham Barons in Double-A.
Okay.
So a guy that's pitched to three levels in 1 year is obviously a positive. He's a obviously physically imposing guy at 6'8" or 6'9", something like that. But he's got a power fastball, hard curveball. He's got a slider and a changeup. When he stays over the rubber, gets on top of the ball, works the ball downhill, it complements that curveball, and he can rack up some K's, not only with the fastball bat, but with the curveball. He's a competitor, and he's got a chance to be a very good pitcher up here.
Organization has to be pleased with one Aaron Bummer also, taking him in the 19th round. John surgery also.
Yeah, he's had a very good year as well.
He's made every stop.
He has. Obviously, he was coming off of his injury, and to get a look at him this year up here now, it's going to be great for him moving forward. But power fastball, the slider, kind of a slurvy action. But, I tell you what, it's actually showed better up here than I thought it was going to. It's been pretty effective pitch. He goes right at guys. He's a fearless guy. I think he's going to be a good piece for our bullpen moving forward.
One ball, one strike. on Delmonico. The runner goes. The throw to second base. And into second base with a stolen base is Mancada. That's his first successful stolen base.
It's good to see that. He has got powerful explosiveness about him. That's what I like about Moncada's speed. It's not necessarily just quick. It's just flat power. And somebody earlier mentioned a comparison of the power of Ricky Henderson.
Yeah. Mm.
And Ricky obviously was one of the most explosive runners in the history of anything. But Moncada does have that kind of power, I think, on his takeoff.
Yeah, I mean, guys like that who run that way, it can be a little bit deceptive, but all
yes.
of a sudden you look up and he's getting stolen bases, he's getting down the line. If you yep. have a stopwatch, you're like, oh, man, the guy's scooting pretty good. But he's got an ability to impact the game in a lot of different ways.
1-2 pitch ripped on the ground off the first baseman's glove around third.
Mancada
coming home, safe at home plate. 2-0 White Sox, never stopped.
You were saying impact the game what?
In a lot of different ways. Case in point right there.
We talk about Moncada's speed up here regularly, but just like the game a couple days ago, a base hit to right field, he turns into a double, and then he gets moved over, and then a ball that's not far from home plate, he scores on it, beating the pitcher to the plate, and now a ball that never leaves the infield, and he's got the speed, and Nick Capper, the third base coach, understands, I can sim this guy with that speed, and he does.
Okay, so we've got these pieces of the puzzle going. How is Zach Birdie doing?
Well,
reliever from Downers Grove, Illinois, right here.
Yeah, local kid. You know, he had Tommy John surgery, yeah. obviously, and he's working through his rehab right now. You know, we hope to have him back as quickly as possible. Obviously, a Tommy John surgery takes time, and he needs to be patient. He's such a hard worker. So it was an unfortunate thing for the organization, and obviously for Zach. But we believe that. Because of the makeup and his drive, he's
yes.
going to come back the way that he was. But obviously, he got a powerful fastball, and he got a good slider, and hopefully be back here and be that kind of shutdown reliever down the stretch for us.
First one for you from Darren and myself. Nicky Delmonico has played better at the big league level than he did the minor leagues.
He does not want to go back, he told me.
I don't blame him. It's been fun to watch. Now, he's a gamer.
Yes, he is. He's a baseball
teammates
player.
Teammates love him. Coaches love him. He goes up there. He gives him his best.
He's come a long way, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got a good story. But you just watch him as a baseball player. He's got a clean swing, uses the whole field. He stays in there against lefties. He's just a guy that you want in your lineup, showing up every day, and you're a teammate with him.
He's got that factor where you say, hey, we can follow this guy a little bit. He's going to take us someplace.
I think so.
He doesn't give up. I mean, he just doesn't give in either. Darren mentioned it. He's been had one game where he hasn't reached base.
Now, Getzy, I'll say this on a personal note. I enjoyed when you were playing here.
Yeah,
you
me
know,
too.
I always enjoyed your conversations with you and appreciated your effort. Glad to have you back here as the director of player development. And you know what? Keep going, man. Keep getting
Thank
these guys
you.
Playing the game just like you
Thanks,
did hard.
Guys. No, I
and
appreciate
your family
it.
Enjoyed the city of Chicago because you were one of our guys. You know that always.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Said that to you at Kansas City when I saw you as well. That's Chris Getz, a better guy than he was a player, and he was a good player. That's the way it should be.
That's Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson with White Sox Director of Player Development, Chris Getz. Obviously, the three are pretty tight. I thought it was a pretty cool conversation. You know, you got to go through a lot of the names that we've gone through here on the show, but with a perspective that I can't offer you, that these guys, you know, they were on the field and they do the job. So I thought it was definitely worth rolling that back. You can commemorate this inaugural Players Weekend, the weekend where all these crazy colors and nicknames on the back of the jerseys. You can commemorate the weekend at MLBShop.com with limited edition White Sox jerseys and tees featuring the player-picked nicknames. You wear the gear the players are wearing on field this weekend. Available while supplies last at MLBShop.com. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start the farm report. It'll be a farm report in two segments, but it'll start next on WLS AM 890. This is White Sox Weekly.
What the hell's going on out here?
White Sox Weekly Farm Report.
We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Candlesticks always make a nice gift, and maybe you can find out where she's registered, maybe a place setting or maybe a silverware pattern.
On WLS AM 890.
Okay, let's get to it.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. This is the Farm Report. Let's get you up to speed on some of those White Sox prospects down there throughout the minor leagues. We're going to do this in two parts. One here after the 5 o'clock news. We'll hear from White Sox hitting coach Todd Steverson. And then When we come back, we'll finish out the farm report. Just a couple of minutes. I wanted to get it started here so we don't lose track of where we're at. At AAA, they play Gwinnett tonight. It's a Michael Kopech start. It'll be his second at the AAA level. And a lot like we talked about with Dan Hayes of CSN Chicago in the first half hour of the show, you know, the same idea of, or a similar idea, I should say, of having Ronaldo Lopez and Lucas Giolito up at this level is to get some bumps out of the way, right? Some hiccups out of the way. Now, with Giolito and with Lopez, as with Kopech, they were kind of done with the levels prior. Really not much more to prove there. But if you know, start to get on the on-ramp now, as opposed to just throwing whomever it is, Kopech, Lopez, Giolito, into that level at the start of next season, well, maybe you get a little bit better transition, a little bit smoother thing if you get your hiccups out of the way now. So that's very much, I think, the idea for Kopech. It seems obviously that he's going to be a AAA, everything goes right, to start next season. And who knows? Maybe he's got a chance to win a job in camp. He's pitched incredibly well so far this year. He starts tonight. That's a 5:05 start for Gwinnett. Meanwhile, and speaking of some of the minor league news, Nicky Delmonico placed on the DL today, which means Rob Brantley comes up from AAA Charlotte, a third catcher on this White Sox roster to help spell Kevin Smith and Omar Narvaez. Have to imagine that move was probably on the way come September. Most teams do call up the third catcher, but with the space on the roster, the way the White Sox have already called up a lot of those young players that might have come up in September and injuries have kind of taken him away from him, figure might as well do that now. Jake Peter is a guy who may get a crack at the 40-man roster in September baseball. He was 2-for-2 with his 7th home run of the season in the game 2 of a doubleheader against Gwinnett last night. Danny Hayes is 7th in home runs in the International League. He's got 19, and Jacob May has gotten things really on track at AAA after a rough go at the beginning of the season at the major league level. He is 2nd in stolen bases at 26th. He's got 5 triples down there in AAA Charlotte, which is good for 5th in the International League. At AA, the Birmingham Barons play tonight. That is a 6:30 start against Tennessee. Tanner Banks will take that start. A doubleheader for Birmingham as well. Last night, Zach Collins was 3-for-3 with a home run and a double and a single. In the second game, he was a triple away from the cycle. It would have been back-to-back nights for a White Sox minor leaguer with the cycle. Jake Berger did it 2 nights ago. Zach Collins was a triple away. Nice to see Zach Collins swinging a little bit. He, of course, got a promotion just a little while ago up to AA. He was promoted with Michael Kopech, and then Kopech it was Zach Collins getting promoted, and Kopech was promoted that same day or next day to AAA. We will continue on with the farm report a little bit later on in the show, right about 5:15. We'll pick it up about halfway through the Birmingham Barons report. When we get back from the 5 o'clock news, White Sox hitting coach Todd Steverson is going to chat with us a bit about the performances of Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada since right about the 1st of August. So keep it here. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890 and the White Sox Radio Network.
Now, White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Welcome back. White Sox Weekly rolls on. I'm Connor McKnight. We've got about a half an hour before our pregame show starts. White Sox and Tigers going to get going here for the 2nd of 3. It is Players Weekend. Tigers are back in their hunting orange hats. They're out there right now taking a look. They're just wrapping up BP. There they go. I'm scurrying off the field here. You can join us at Guaranteed Rate Field as the White Sox take on the Tampa Bay Rays on Saturday, September 2nd. First 20,000 fans will receive a Mark Burley bobblehead. That's right, you heard me. A Mark Burley bobblehead presented by Toyota. Visit WhiteSox.com to purchase your tickets today or by calling 866-SOX-GAME. We're splitting up the farm report into a bit of a doubleheader. Started it earlier on in the show, covered AAA and AA. We'll continue on with AA and the rest of the low minors when we come back after our next break. But Todd Steverson, White Sox hitting coach, had a conversation with a couple of us gathered downstairs the other day, and we talked a lot about Tim Anderson. We talked a lot about Yoan Moncada, and what the conversation started with was a chat about plate discipline and how teachable or not teachable parts of that skill set are and how they apply to some hitters who are working through the big league level at the first time. Here's Trick, the hitting coach of the White Sox.
Obviously, his plate discipline is big for me. They're still trying to feel itself around in terms of with timing and understanding how they're pitching him up here. But overall, like I said, the way that he's been able to get on base still without really being at his best swinging is pretty positive for him.
Say, when you have those positive takeaways, it's easier to have the patience. Obviously, he's a young guy. It's really early in his career.
Yeah, I mean, hitting's a process. Baseball's a process, and let him go through it. This time that he has here is a great learning experience for him, and there's no other place to learn better than where you want to play at the highest level. So day in and day out, and like I said, I've talked about it with you, Colleen, but having the people around him like Jose, you know, and early he had Cabrera here also helping him out and doing some things like that. He's been able to adapt a lot faster.
What about his lefty-righty skills? I mean, does he have two different swings?
All switch hitters have different swings as it comes to both sides of the plate. You're never probably going to take more right-handed bats than you will left-handed in this league just because it's a right-handed pitcher's league. And so, you know, your right-handed typically is either you have more strength that way or you do – you know, you maybe go the other way better, you know, and right-handed. But I think he has probably more power right-handed. But he says he doesn't take the consistent at-bats right-handed. It, you know, it becomes a little funky for him to switch over, especially in the middle of the game. That's one of the hardest things to do is to switch over the middle of the game and take it at-bat the other side. But, you know, you got to learn that process. And same thing, left-handers tend to have more change-ups. That's typically their second best pitch, most left-handers. And that's one of the toughest pitches to hit in baseball. So, you know, that's part of the learning process of his right-handed side of his swing.
You talked about with Tim before that when you have as much bat speed and raw power as a guy like that, pitchers are going to try to throw as much off-speed stuff out of the zone until you prove that you won't get out that way. Is he going through that kind of stage right now?
Yeah, they're
going
to test you. They got to test you up here. They've already watched your minor league video. I mean, everything's public now, you know, with all the video and games being broadcast on, you know, MILB and things like that. So they have a good idea, and you've been scouted, and so they're going to see, you know, how far of a rope, you know, you'll put yourself out there with. You know, are you going to chase this off the plate? Oh, you did. Let me throw a little further. Will you chase that one also? And it's up to you, really, to create your own scouting report for yourself. If you don't chase, they got to come in the zone, and you have a better chance to hit. But the more things that you do that are obviously not conducive to being a good hitter or chasing out of zone, they'll do it more and more and more until you stop. And this is no different with Timmy and Moncada. The more and more you go up there and take quality at bats, the more and more they know they have to pitch to you instead of just throwing to you.
Many people believe that it's wrong to try to have a young hitter learn how to walk. Where do you fall in on that conversation?
Well, that's a tough line of learning how to walk. If you know the zone and know what you want to hit, it's a lot easier. Really, you walk because you hit is what it boils down to, and you do damage when you do put the ball in play. And they don't want to see you swing is why the majority of guys walk. But there are a certain amount of guys that have a great eye, you know, a la like Narvi. Omar, he's got a great eye. You know, and he's not a power guy, but he understands the strike zone, so he takes his walk. And at the end of the day, if you're watching the bat like him, like he takes also a ball and a half off the plate, you know, he takes it. Some guys swing at that ball just because they think it's a strike. You can't be afraid to go down in the count in this game. You know, you can't just go hacking right off the get-go. You can't be afraid to go 0-1. I have a saying, I'd rather be 0-1 than 0-4-1. You know, so waiting on your pitch is necessary.
Yeah, you know where it's at, right?
When you, from what you saw of Nicky Delmonico in the spring and in the past, are you surprised at all at the start he's getting off to?
No. Surprise is a kind of rough word for him. I thought he had the ability. Obviously, I had seen Nicky a couple years before that when he first came over to the organization. And, you know, he's done some things physically and mentally to his game. and he's refined it pretty good. And he worked his tail off this offseason. You know, I live in Arizona, and I saw him come out to the ballpark way before spring training was ready, refining his approach and his thought process of what he wanted to do. And he was able to put it together. I mean, he probably knew he was going out AAA, but he left a great impression in the big league camp. And he went down and did work down at AAA, and he's up here and having a good time right now.
One more question about walks. You think bases on balls for some hitters are overrated, and that there's too much concentration and on-base percentage for some guys, rather than just, as you said, having quality at-bats and doing something good within it?
Well, you can never underestimate on-base percentage, because I mean, the more runs you have on base, the better chance you have to score. And you know, that's the old adage, you know, the name of the game of offense is create runs, and that's the best way to do it, especially if you're not going to hit home runs. And the ability to hit, though, is still necessary. I wouldn't want anybody to just go up there and just take all walks all year long. That's not what it's all about. I want you to walk when they offer you a walk, but I want you to be able to hit. At the end of the day, when you have a guy, let's just take Melky for example. When he came up to the plate and as a runner at second base or his game was on the line, a lot of people had an idea, hey, this guy can hit. Hey, we got a chance to win this game, or we got a chance to drive this guy in. That's the kind of guy you want to be when you get up to the plate. The kind of feeling that the fans and your teammates have for you is like, ooh, look who's coming up. You know, guy, he can hit. Not just a guy that either can take a walk or is a, you know, one-trick pony, hit a homer kind of guy. You know, we want hitters.
Is there anything different with, you know, Tim this month as much as he's driving the ball, or is he kind of sticking with the approach he's had?
Nothing different. Better pitches. I mean, and you'll always hear me say it, if you go back and you look at the tape, you look at where the balls are that he's been hitting, they're up, out, over the plate, they're strikes, and he's got a good swing. So you can you know, poke holes in any hitter that swings at bad pitches. And he knows it, and as well as everyone else. So when he gets good pitches to hit, he does well.
With Yulmer, he said he adjusted his hands a little bit this season, how it's really made an impact for him offensively. What do you make of how his progression has been this year from previous years and how further he can go?
Well, I mean, you probably weren't here at the time. I mean, he's come a long way, because he had a year where he was hitting 400 before he came up here. I think that was 15, I believe it was. He was hitting 400 in AAA. Came up here, and he ended up being our everyday second baseman. He was hitting like 150. For the majority of the year. And that's very tough mentally on a player, to be able to go out there and still execute, you know, his defense amongst going up there and not feeling at his best at home plate. And he was able to bring that up, I believe, over the 200 mark, you know, that year, which was a testament to him. But he learned a lot about himself, and he'll tell you about it. He learned a lot about himself that year, and he's always been a good hitter. You know, he's always been a good. In terms of his hands, that's just position stuff and timing things. But he has a good eye, and he's got a good swing, you know, from both sides. Obviously, his left-hand swing is what you see the most, but he's a good hitter.
That's White Sox hitting coach Todd Steverson kind of spraying to all fields, to use the cliche, about a couple of White Sox hitters. Yeah, Yulmer did have a season where he was hitting darn near 400 down in the minors, came up here and had a rough go, but he's been a good part of this White Sox lineup for the last little bit, especially with Matt Davidson out for a time, too. He's been playing some solid third base. Ever dream of being a White Sox player? Hands up. Now is your chance. Attend the 2018 Chicago White Sox Fantasy Camp at Camelback Ranch, Glendale, January 14th through the 20th, and be treated like a pro. For more information or to reserve your roster spot, call 623-302-5078. One more time, here it is, 623-302-5078, or sign up at whitesox.com. We'll wrap up the second half of the Farm Report when we come back. This is White Sox Weekly on WLSAM. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. Closing things up, actually, just a couple of minutes left for us to all hang out and talk a little White Sox baseball. Boy, have we done a lot today. A lot of good conversation, and in case you missed any little bit of it, you can head online, WLSAM.com/White Sox. All of our episodes are available on podcasts, so you can download them and listen to them at your leisure, maybe during the off season. You kind of got the Jones. I mean, not that White Sox Weekly doesn't run through the off season; it certainly does. But you know, if you got a hankering, if just an hour during the off season is enough for you, you head onto the website, you download them all, and you just listen to them over and over and over again until your boss fires you from your job for listening to too much White Sox Weekly. That's your choice. We leave it up to you. We talked with Bill Cachetis, who wrote the book on Dick Allen, who's looking to get into the Hall of Fame, 1972 MVP for the White Sox, just across the street here. We talked to Dan Hayes of CSN Chicago and got the latest on all the injuries to the White Sox. In case you are just tuning in a little bit early for the pregame show, Nicky Delmonico hits the disabled list today. Sprained wrist. Good news is it doesn't seem to be anything structural, but it may take some time for the symptoms to kind of shake out and lose the soreness and get back to hitting the way he'd been hitting. Boy, has he been hitting. We also heard a conversation that Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson had with Chris Getz, the White Sox director of player development. It was a good one, and a lot about some of the top prospects and even some of the not upper tier, upper echelon prospects too. In case you're interested, take a listen through some of that. We had a conversation with Todd Steverson, White Sox hitting coach, about a couple of the young hitters who have been on the come lately, especially since August 1st. A couple of young White Sox hitters. Have been hitting it pretty well. Let's get back to the farm report. We got about halfway through it before we had to step aside, take a break, and then chat with Todd Steverson. Michael Kopech has begun his evening in Charlotte. He is, if I clicked on the right thing, he is through two-thirds of an inning. He has walked one. He has struck out one pretty early on to find out he got a called strikeout of Ronald Acuna, who was a top prospect himself in the Braves organization. Boy, has he just been fantastic. Young, too. I mean, just a very big-time prospect is Acuna. He got him looking on strikes. And then a walk and a flyout, and Kopech is pitching now for the Charlotte Knights. We were still in Birmingham, though, when we left off. Both Spencer Adams and Jordan Guerrero, starters for the Birmingham Barons, have thrown really well this season, but have, you know, maybe just hit a little bit of a wall, perhaps. Spencer Adams gave up 4 over 6 innings in his last start. Jordan Guerrero, and this was just yesterday, they played a doubleheader. Jordan Guerrero allowed 5 runs on 3 2/3 innings, season-high 10 hits. However, Guerrero is 4th in the league in strikeouts at 130, 6th in innings pitched. Spencer Adams is 3rd in innings pitched and 8th in strikeouts. So, yeah, some good numbers for the guys, but we are late in that minor league season, and for some pitchers, some arms especially, who just haven't pitched this long, you're going to see some bumps in the road, and that's okay. That's what the end of the season and some of the call-ups and promotions are about. Get that done now. Learn what it's like to get deep like this. I mean, both of those guys I just mentioned, 140 and a third innings for Jordan Guerrero, 150 for Spencer Adams. Those are long seasons, and certainly a big part of getting older in the system is going deeper in your seasons, you know, putting up those 160, 170 inning years before you get to your, you know, first big league go in the rotation. And with the way those two have pitched, Adams and Guerrero, it is entirely possible that one, perhaps even both of them, get looks at the major leagues at some point in the next year or two. And who knows? We've talked a lot about how even though the top prospects are the guys we'll watch now and, you know, have MILB live for Michael Kopech starts, there are going to be players with less prospect shine on them now that matter to the White Sox more than some of the, you know, the top-ranked guys. It's just the way baseball works. There is attrition, and washout's probably a little cruel, but there is a certain amount of turnover in those lists, and real players play this ballgame. All right, down at Winston-Salem. Real humans, I should say. Winston-Salem, Class A, that's a 5:30 start. So we'll get underway in just a little bit. A couple of nice nights for A.J. Puckett. He got his first win as a member of the Winston-Salem Dash. Second quality start in, what is this now, three trips to the mound for Puckett since coming over from the Kansas City Royals. He was one of the arms in that deal for Melky Cabrera. He gave up 2 runs on 9 hits. Did not walk a batter in 6 innings as well. Dane Dunning ranks 5th in ERA in the Carolina League, 3.77, 7th in strikeouts with 116. Dunning, one of those guys who had a bit of a hiccup last time around too, but you know, we talked about what it is to have that happen. Class A Kannapolis. Oh, and by the way, we mentioned this the other night when it happened, but Alec Hansen has been called up one level too, so he's no longer in Kannapolis. 6-0-5 start for Kannapolis, though. Alex Call has a six-game hitting streak. He went 1-for-5 last night. Dylan Cease, through his first quality start, did take the loss. Pitcher wins loss records. You know how those go. Six innings, two earned runs. He struck out 10 as well. In case you've forgotten, Dylan Cease was one of the top arms, or the top arm, I should say, in the trade for Jose Quintana with the Cubs, Eloy Jimenez, and Dylan Cease. Probably the top two guys in that deal. Jimenez just clubbing it, absolutely clubbing it now at Double A. And Dylan Cease pitching well here, getting a bunch of strikeouts and kind of stretching his season along as well. That is going to do it for us here on White Sox Weekly. Boy, we had a huge show and could not be happier that you joined us. Again, in case you missed any little bit of it, you can head to WLSAM.com/White Sox and download any part of the show that maybe, just maybe you missed. You can head to the park for dollar hot dogs every Wednesday home game through the rest of the season. Take advantage of this unbeatable deal on September 6th as the Sox take on the Cleveland Indians at 7:10. You can purchase tickets today by visiting WhiteSox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME. I'm Connor McKnight. Big thanks to Adam Studzinski and Dave Zaslavsky for helping us get this show on air. The pregame show is next. White Sox and Tigers are on the way, so don't go anywhere. This is WLS AM 890 and the White Sox Radio Network.